All right, if you would, turn your Bibles with me to chapter 1 of Joshua. We're going to pick up here, and the sermon title is called, Now What? And I think that we all have that question, and I think we need to turn that question into an exclamation point. Amen? Now what? Not now what, now what? And how many of you know that all happens with the way that you perceive life? And so we're going to pick up this morning in chapter 1. We're going to read through the first three or four verses, and then we'll kind of begin to dive into the text. I have to ask a real spiritual question first, if y'all can handle that. Can you handle that? How many of y'all are turkey people? How many of y'all are ham people? All right, cool. How many of you guys are both people? All right. Ham people? Turkey people? I mean, what else? Nobody's even, hardly anybody's raising their hand. So what do you eat for Thanksgiving? Everything else but. All right. Well, cool. I just wanted to get that out of the air. I just wanted to see who we are dealing with this morning. And all right. Cool. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, I thank you for every life here this morning. God, you know where we're at in our season. God, you know what we're facing, what we're desiring for, what we're believing for. God, what we're desiring to walk in. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint this time with us together this morning. Lord, I pray that your word, God, never returns with, Lord, void. It always accomplishes what it's sent out to do. So Lord, I thank you, God, that your word would fall heavy on our hearts, that it would literally change the way that we perceive life this morning. And God, I pray more than anything, God, that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday through our lives. And if you believe that, give me an amen. So I want to kind of break down the text a little bit before we get into this. Well, let me go ahead and read it, and then we'll do that. So it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you. From the wilderness in the south to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So we hear this story, and for some of you, you may not understand the significance of what's happening here. And so I wanted to kind of break this down for you a little bit to have an understanding of what's happening. Is Moses has been this leader. He's been kind of leading the charge for the last 40 years. They've come out of Egypt. And they've walked across the Red Seas. They've seen water come out of rocks. They've seen all these miraculous things happen, okay? And Joshua has been his assistant for the majority of this time. And he's been walking with Moses, and Moses has been mentoring him, leading him, helping him have the steps. And whenever Joshua has a question, he has someone he can immediately lean into and get advice from and be encouraged by and be inspired by his own, by Moses' faith. And then all of a sudden, Moses dies. The Bible says that God called Moses to the mountain. And how do you know that in the text, if you go back, Moses, whenever he went to the mountain, amazing things happened. The glory of God filled the mountain. The Ten Commandments came. God wrote his finger in the rocks. And the whisper of God came into Moses. He was glowing. All the things that Moses had ever encountered on the mountain were amazing. And Joshua was like, God is sending Moses to the mountain again. We're going into our promised land, but Moses never comes down from the mountain because he dies on the mountain. And I think that a lot of times we have this anticipation of what's going to happen in life, and things have been almost predictable. Well, when this happens, this happens. When this happens, this happens. But how many of you know that life is not predictable? Life is not fair. Life is always throwing us curveballs and things that we're going to have to believe God for in a different manner. And this is what Joshua is facing. Joshua is under the perception of things are about to be incredible because Moses is going to the mountain and Moses never comes down. And they realize Moses has died. We've been believing God to get into the promised land, and Moses is our man. How are we going to get into the promised land now? And if you can imagine all the chaos going around in camp now that Moses is dead, our leader, God is taking us out next. God has left us, he's forsaken us, and I don't know about you, if you've ever had this anticipation of something happening that doesn't happen, and then what does it immediately happen is we begin to look at God as if he failed us. But what if God is setting up something to get you into something? And see, I think that we can allow things that happen in our lives to be much like what I would consider a small pebble that falls into the heart of the human thinking and the mind, and it begins to weigh us down. Have you ever heard the expression a heavy heart? That is the byproduct of having a lot of disappointment and discouragement enter your heart, and it begins to weigh you down, and it becomes your reality. And this is where he's at. His heart is heavy. He's lost someone that he valued, that he loved, that he would consider probably extreme, like a family member, and he loses him. But yet God tells him, hey Joshua, Moses is gone, and I need you to move forward. And I want this story to be the story where you find yourself as Joshua. I want you to see yourself this morning as the man who God's calling to move forward. And how many of you know that discouragement, when it gets in your heart too deep, it robs you from your promised land? And that is the goal of the enemy, right? It's to keep you okay and moving farther back towards Egypt. Well, Moses is gone. I guess we'll just go back to Egypt because at least we know there we're going to get food. And sometimes we can so easily slip back into our past because of discouragement and disappointment. But I believe that God called and he spoke into Joshua because he saw something in him. And I'm speaking as if I'm God this morning, in a sense, telling you, I want you to know that God sees something significant in you and he is calling you forward. But God needs to hear you say, now what? Not with a question mark, but now what with an exclamation point. Now what, God? What are you calling me to do? And so we see here, it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving you. Now, we know we've kind of gotten the diagnosis that Joshua is in a mourning state, and he's dealing with the loss of someone he loved and his mentor. But yet God is still speaking to him, and God is still calling him into something else. And discouragement, you know, and disappointment, we have to address it. We can't just say, well, it's just there, and it's just when it, discouragement and disappointment does not dissolve over the course of time. You have to address and you have to confront disappointment and discouragement. A lot of times we use time as something as if it's a salve, but I want you to know it's simply a Band-Aid. It will get you through for a season, but you have to address and you have to confront those kinds of emotions. Because those emotions will ultimately become a reality, and then you will begin to live from discouragement and disappointment, and everything that you filter from filters from the fact that God disappointed you. And you never get to step into another dimension of God's promises and his yes and his amen to other things. And this is the decision that we are in, that Joshua was having to make this decision in this moment. God is speaking to me. I'm grieving. I'm dealing with the disappointment of losing somebody that I loved. And now he's being confronted with that. And God is speaking to him and he's saying, look, will you move forward or are you going to stay here? And God begins to speak to him over the next 9 verses, and he begins to confront some things, and he begins to encourage some things, and he begins to speak different things into his life, things that Joshua needs to hear so that he can step into the next level of his life. How many of you know that every one of us have faced some point in our life, a piece of disappointment or some sense of discouragement has happened in our lives? And how many of you know that no matter how much you try to protect yourself from discouragement and disappointment, you're never going to avoid it completely. So you might as well learn how to affect it, how to address it, how to speak against it, how to rise up over it. Amen? And so Joshua is having this conversation with God. And he's talking to him and they're confronting the fact that he's lost Moses, and disappointment is in him. And Josh is saying, God is telling Joshua, all right, let's move forward. And the thing that I want to tell you this morning, that if you want to get over discouragement and disappointment, you have to confront disappointment with destiny. You have to use the thing that God's calling you into to confront the disappointment and the discouragement that's in your life. This is what God was doing. God was saying, look, Joshua, I understand what you lost, but I have called you into the promised land, and you've got to begin to take steps in towards your destiny, because the enemy would love for you to stay so focused on the discouragement and the disappointment in your heart that that's all you see, and you never move towards the destiny that God's called you to. I can look back in my life, and if it wasn't for destiny, I'm scared as to where I would be in my life. It is simply and solely destiny and purpose is why I've moved and progressed through the pain in my life. See, the problem with discouragement and disappointment is it breeds self-pity. And when you get into self-pity, it becomes very dangerous because you shut out the voice of God in your life. Because all you're concerned about is how you feel, and what you've done in self-pity is you've elevated how you feel over God's voice. And that becomes a dangerous place in our lives when we begin to elevate how we feel over God's voice. Because you will never step into another dimension of God's faith and his vision for your life until you rise above that. How many of you have met people that literally every time you meet them and you have a conversation with them, they're still talking about what discouragement and disappointment they've had, and it was been 2 years ago? What a horrible place to have to live in. The enemy will do everything he can to try to get in your life to discourage, to hinder you from seeing the possibilities of the future. And Joshua's having to say, okay, like, I really loved Moses, and this is where I'm at. And he had to confront, am I willing to move forward? And so Joshua begins to hear the voice of God, and he begins to process what God is saying. Why? And I think that even in discouragement and disappointment, I'm thinking, Joshua, I'm thinking, God, like, why would you call me to do that? You begin to demean yourself because of what you're feeling, and you begin to go, God, you're not going to call me to go to the promised land. And so many times we can downplay who we are because of what we're feeling, but I love that God said, Joshua, you're my man. And I want you to know this morning that I sense that God is telling me to tell you, you are my man. You are my woman. You are the person that I've called to step in to the promised land. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what you've lost. It doesn't matter what you're going to face. I'm calling you into the promised land. See, never let the discouragement that happens to you be bigger than the assignment in you. There is an assignment on the inside of you. And so many times we can allow what's happening to us to belittle who God has called us to be. But I can't help but go back to the Psalms when it says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I knit you together in the darkness. Why would God knit you together and go through the energy of making you if he wasn't going to use you? God formed you and fashioned you so that he could use you. And discouragement and disappointment and the emotions and the lies of the enemy do nothing but try to keep you at bay. They try to keep you harnessed in. And the only thing that can stop you from experiencing a new level of God's promises is you. Oftentimes, we are our worst critic. We are our worst enemy. Because we know how we're feeling, we know what we're going through, and oftentimes we hinder ourselves from moving forward. And God is wanting to speak to us, and he's saying, look, it is time to move forward. There is a promised land waiting for you. And oftentimes disappointment becomes an appointment for another season. We look at disappointment as, well, God's never going to do it. But what if God is holding off for another season in your life? Because the blessing that he's going to give you, you couldn't handle in this season. Or the direction that God is calling you into, you couldn't handle this season. And so we use disappointment as God's no, when God says, no, this is just an appointment for another season. Disappointment. It's not this day, it's next week or it's next year. I remember when Alicia and I were trying to get, you know, we were trying to have a baby, and it was 3 years in and 4 years in, and we just like, what is going on, God? I mean, we faced disappointment on a monthly basis. And to fight that, but I look back now, and looking back, it was for another season. Thank God that we got her when we had her, because it was for the season, for such a time as this. You realize that God doesn't miss seasons. He doesn't be like, oh, that baby wasn't supposed to be born in 2018. That was supposed to be in 15. Oh my gosh. Like, God doesn't mess up. And when you allow disappointment and discouragement, what happens is it becomes the blame game between you and God. Well, this and this, what you've done is you've put an expectation on God that was never there. He never put that in you. But we've put an expectation on him based on our external lives. We live in a world. That's the problem. We live in a world with desires and temptations and struggles and all of these different people that we look up to or that we are jealous or envious of. We like, okay, that's what I want. We begin to put their desires in our bucket. Have you noticed that the older you get, the heavier the bucket gets? Why? Because the older you get, the more desires that of other people you start putting in your bucket. And you're carrying a bucket of other people's desires for you. Oh, I just wish you would this, or I just wish you would that, or I really think you should do this, or I really, oh, let me put that in my bucket of expectations. What happens when all of these people, you've taken all of their words and you've put them in your life, you're carrying around an expectation bucket that weighs 50 pounds when it should have weighed 2. Would you like a scripture for it? All right, delight, Psalms 37:4-5. It says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Who will give them to you? Not your brother, not your grandpa, not your dad or your mom, not your boss, not that person that you look up to, right? Is that what it said? And the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart? Okay. Then it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. There's three things that I want to hit on real quickly in this. The first thing is it says to delight in the Lord. Look, if you want real God desires, you need to get them from the Lord. And the only way you get them from the Lord is delighting yourself in him. Not waiting to pick up the phone or send a text to somebody and say, man, I had this thing, I'm gonna do this. So many of us are living lives failing in life because we are trying to live at an expectation that other people have put on us. And they're dream killers. So it says, delight in yourself in the Lord. And then it says, he will give you the desires of your heart. But then it says on that factor, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way. That's what Joshua had to do. Joshua had to delight himself in the Lord. And then he had to commit what he heard from God. If God is telling me to go into the promised land, I'm going to commit to that. And then it goes on and it says this, trust in him and he will act. The acting part of God is after the trusting part of you. The acting part of God is followed by the trusting part in you. That was way better than any amen. But that's okay, we'll move on. Verse 3 says this, I promise you, what I promised Moses. Can I tell you that God is giving you some promises? That God is giving you some promises, even though you may have lost what you loved, there are still some promises that God is wanting to speak into your life. This is what it says. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. So here's the contingency. Where you don't put your foot, you don't own. Right? A lot of us want new territory in our minds and in our hearts, but we won't take steps to get there. Because you know why? Because we have to leave things that we've become dependent on, which for some of us is those emotions. And you have to walk away from those things. Delight, commit, and trust in God. And that is difficult. See, discouragement is dismantled the faster you step towards obedience. The faster you step towards God's voice when he's saying, come into the promised land, the quicker you do that, the faster those emotions leave. But sometimes we want to go back and we want to pamper them. Like, what did you say, discouragement? What did you say? You're so pretty. And we spend way too much time polishing what God is trying to move us away from. Right? See, we've got to leave. We've got to move away. We've got to go to the voice of God that he's calling me into. And that means leaving Moses' gravesite. And we feel like we've robbed and we're robbing Moses and we're leaving him and we're just discarding him as if he didn't mean he was valuable. Look, sometimes you've got to walk away from things that are buried. You just got to do it, and you've got to walk into this newness of life, the promised land that God is calling you into. He's calling you into this place that they had been wrestling with to get into for 40 years. I mean, think about, for us, that's half of our lives. 40 years would be half of most of our lives, statistically. But what will you walk away from to walk into something else? You have to be quick to his voice. Because I want you to know, discouragement and disappointment is waiting to have a chat with you. Every place you step. Look, there are some new things that God is wanting you to walk into, but you control your destiny. Right? Joshua was controlling his destiny. I'm walking slow so the video can catch this. Right? You have to walk towards what you want. If you want freedom in something, you've got to walk away from the baggage. You've got to walk away from those things. See, what the enemy does is he uses discouragement and disappointment as an anchor in our hearts to try to keep us captive. How many of you know that if you were to build a $2 million boat and you went and you showed all your friends this amazing boat, you said, check out my boat. You can go get in it, check it out. But they asked you to take it to sea and be like, oh no, it doesn't go out to sea. It just sits in the harbor. This is what a lot of our hearts look like. They're really pretty. They look really good from the outside, but when's the last time you've taken your boat out to sea, right? When's the last time you've taken this thing out and let the waves of disappointment crash against it? And the waves of, I don't get this, I don't understand this, I don't get this, I thought we would be here by here, but you know what happens when you take a boat to sea and it crashes up against the waves? It shows you that your boat is capable of getting through the storms. And I want you to know that there are things that you're capable of getting through, but you've got to get your boat out of the harbor. You've got to get this thing moving. And as long as Joshua stayed still, sobbing about Moses and worried and concerned about how to get to the promised land, look, God said, wherever you go, I'm going with you, in essence. This is what he's saying. Look, if Joshua doesn't move, if he doesn't move towards the promised land, guess what? There's a million other Israelites that don't get to step into theirs. And this is the point, is that there are people that are tied to your destiny. And I know that we have people on followers on Twitter and Facebook and all of these different social media things, and we can look at people that we look up to, and they're like, they have 25,000, they have 2 million, they have so-and-so's followers. And we think that our life is not significant, but I want you to know that you may have a husband that you're about to marry or a wife that you're about to marry. You may have kids. You may have a family that's looking up to you. I had a friend that his family is who I looked up to about family. So where if they were to just live their life and done whatever they want, they would have influenced me and allowed me to not be able to see what I saw. And so many times we devalue the fact that we only have a few followers. The fact that you have a follower is the confirmation that you're a leader. That God is calling you into something. And so I think that you have to be really careful with not moving forward because of looking at yourself and saying, I'm not capable or I don't think this is in me. When God says, I've called you and I've purposed you and I'm telling you that the promised land is waiting on you. Your promised land is waiting. How many know that what's in your heart, what's been there from God, that scripture that we read earlier, is never going to be accomplished because it's in your heart. See, a lot of times we think, man, I had this desire and I had this dream. Those don't ever get accomplished until you actually act on those. And I think it's tragic that you think graveyards are bad. I think what's in the hearts of people is worse. I think there are more dreams that have been buried with those people in the graveyards because they were unwilling to step out in faith than the fact that they're just the body itself. And I wonder how many of us are going to go to the grave with the desires and the dreams in our hearts because of discouragement and disappointment. So here it goes on and it says this in verse 6. It says, well, verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. So it doesn't mean that you won't face things, right? It just means that those things won't defeat you. It means that those things won't overtake you. He says, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. This is God talking to you and I. And this is what he says in verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. In other words, he's saying, Joshua, be strong and courageous. I didn't mess up. I chose you on purpose. And a lot of times that's what we feel. God, you didn't choose me. I think there's nothing wrong with having humility, but there is something wrong with having a false sense of self-humility. What was me? No, Joshua had an opportunity to say, know what, God, you've called me and you've purposed me. I'm going to step into this. Be strong and courageous. It says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. This is the next sentence. He went from strong and courageous to being strong and very courageous. Now you have to understand that when God is speaking, when he says courageous, he's actually speaking to the heart of Joshua. He's actually speaking to his heart because that's where the war is happening. The war isn't happening on the outside with God, Joshua looking at the promised land being like, man, I don't know if I can get there. The war is happening in his heart. And so God is speaking into it saying, Joshua, be strong and courageous. No, don't just be courageous, be very courageous. And the word there means this, to be forceful in courage. In other words, what does that mean? That means you don't live trying to get into the promised land flippantly. Well, if we talk about Eeyore a lot, right? Well, if I just get there, I get there. No, he's saying forcefully go after what's in your heart. I am bringing courage. I am bringing encouragement where there is discouragement, which brings you courage. Right? So whatever you begin to hear begins to produce either your discouragement or the courage that calls you into the promised land. Which brings me to my next point. Verse 7, it says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from the turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Why did he tell him not to go left or right? Because that's what discouragement and disappointment will do, is it'll give you other options than God. Discouragement and disappointment will give you options that say, well, I mean, you don't have to do it that way. But God said to step into the destiny. Step. Take aggressive, forceful action. This morning, I want you to know that you're never going to step into the next season of your life without being intentional about it. Then verse 8, it says this, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So now we have a contingency plan that God put into play here. I'm going to give you all this. All this is great, but it's all contingent on this. It's what you think. It's what you meditate on. It's what you process. So here's what I want to lay out to you. Is that your heart will never be more courageous than the thoughts you consume. Right? What are you eating? Your heart will never be more courageous than what you're consuming. That's why God told Joshua, to what? Meditate. That word meditate there is the actual picture of it in the Greek and Hebrew is this. Is it's a cow chewing on grass. You ever seen a cow, like they just stare at you like they're dumb? And they're like. That's meditating. That, you know what that's doing? That's the cow taking in every ounce of that grass. And do you want to know how you step into the promised land? By taking every word that God speaks to you and meditating on it. That as discouragement comes, you begin to chew and chew and chew. But God said that he would be with me. But God said I would enter the promised land. But what about Moses? But God said, and you have to meditate on it. You have to begin to consume what God said, not how you feel. Because Joshua, based on his feelings, didn't want to do anything but sit there and think about Moses and what he meant to him. But I want you to know that God has something more significant for you to step into. God's voice, when you meditate on it, he takes out the lies that the enemy has been mowing you over with, just constantly badgering you about the lies. This is not going to happen, and that will never happen, and that won't happen, and this won't happen. And if you think about it and you listen to it long enough, what happens? You sit there at the borderline of your promise, wondering, I wonder if I ever. I don't know if you've ever seen this picture. This is a guy in this cave, in this tunnel, and he's got a pitchfork, he's got a pick in his hand, and he's swinging, and it's showing. You can see the picture, and he's on the other side of him swinging. He's turning around. He's walking back the other way. And he was one hit away from hitting diamonds. This is my point, is I think that when you meditate on God's voice, you're willing to take whatever he says and do whatever he says to do, that you're willing to do it, regardless of whether you see what you thought you would see. And I believe that there are a lot of us in here this morning, and we've done, you know, it's like you get a book, you're like, thanks, and you put it on the bookshelf. If you go into my office, there's a bunch of books. And I think that if we were to look in the heart of most of us this morning, there are a lot of dreams on the bookshelf. There are a lot of disappointments that have been replaced by, we've taken our dreams, we've put them up, and we've taken discouragement and disappointment off. And we spend our time reading all the disappointments and all the discouragement that we feel instead of taking our dreams back off the shelf and saying, God's called me to something significant. If you would stand with me this morning as we close. There's a question that I want to ask you And this one is much more serious. It's not about the turkeys or the ham. However, I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving. And I pray that your heart can truly think about how thankful and grateful God has been to you. But this is the question I want to ask you. Is what have you lost heart on that you are still called to pursue? What's on the bookshelf that you're still called to pursue? But because things didn't go like planned, you put them on the shelf and you said, that must have not been God's. I would challenge you this week to pray through that, because maybe some of those things were yours, but many of them, I believe, were God's. So what I want to challenge you to do is to ask God, God, what have I put on the shelf that you actually designed me for, that you actually created me for, and I've put these things on the shelf. And I've allowed my dreams to be covered up with discouragement and disappointment. Look, if that's you this morning, and you feel the heaviness, you feel the weight of things that you may have put on the shelf, and you need God to give you the faith to reach for it again, because you know when you reach for that, I felt disappointment the last time I saw that. As you tie a lot of your dreams to disappointment and discouragement, but I believe this is the new season that God is changing some things and rearranging your heart. You've matured, you've grown, and God is saying it's time to take that back off the shelf. If that's you this morning, I want to ask you just to simply raise your hand. I just want to know who I'm praying for this morning. You say, that's me. I have something. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Keep them up for just a second. Thank you for those hands. Keep them up for just a second. I mean, I know for you, for many of you, even this morning, just to raise your hand, it's hard to even raise your hand because of the weight of that discouragement. But I want you to know that God sees every hand, and he sees your heart, and he sees the dream. And he has a plan for that. So, Father, I lift up every hand that's raised. And God, we're lifting up hearts is what we're doing, God. God, we're lifting up those things that have weighed heavy in our hearts, the discouragement, the disappointment, the things that we've almost put you in there, God. We've almost allowed you to be who's disappointed us and discouraged us. But God, we ask, God, that you would replace that with the words of your voice. God, that we pray that you would replace it with faith this morning. God, that you would cleanse our heart this morning as a vacuum, God, as it just would suck out every ounce of disappointment and discouragement. God, that you would give us the faith to reach our hands up and grab the dream again, to believe you for the promised land. God, we thank you. We praise you this morning, God, for what you're doing right now, God. The things that you're doing right now, God, that as you invade our hearts this morning, God, as you touch our lives, God, we pray, God, for the weight and the heaviness, God, to leave. God, I pray even right now that they would physically feel lighter, God, that the burdens would be removed. God, your word says that your yoke and your burden is light and it's easy, God. So, Father, we cling to that this morning. We thank you, God. We thank you for your word. God, we praise you. We give you glory for it this morning. We thank you, God, for the heavy hearts being lightened. We thank you, God, for new dreams and new desires that come from you to be birthed in us this morning, God. We see our promised land on the horizon, and Father, we begin to take steps towards it. We love you. This morning, if you've never given the Lord an opportunity to become the Lord and Savior of your life, we want to give you that this morning. We want to ask that, man, you realize the love of God, how much he is in pursuit of you, and he wants to know you. We want to give you an opportunity to experience him this morning. Maybe you've prayed the prayer, but it was just a prayer because that's what people were doing. But this morning, you want to make it real. You want to make it intentional. If that's you, if you would just slip your hand up real quick and you can set it right back down. We love you, God. We pray that you would just continue to speak over our dreams this week. God, allow us to see the things that you've done, the things that you still desire to do in us. In Jesus' name, amen.